Soundscapes.
A Mystic Soundscapes Netcast. The latest news in the world of New Age music, concert updates, artist interviews, contests, and more.
Presented by Mystic Soundscapes Internet Radio.
Because life sounds better. Chill.
And now,
Escapes. Escapes number 38 for Friday, September 5th, 2008. I'm Pete. Thanks for tuning in. Great interview for you today with guitarist Dave Wyck. Plus, we're going to be announcing our winners of the Radio Mystic 4th Anniversary Contest right after the interview. Let's kick things off with some music from the just-released CD by Alu. This one's been a long time coming, but it's well worth it. You're going to get a mix of electronic, pop, new age, a little bit of rock in there as well. It's a great CD. This track is called The Days of July.
Love.
The Days of July. That's from the CD Beautiful Things by the group ALU. Jeff Metling, Dee Gonzalez and the band. Check them out online at alumusic.com. That's E-L-U music.com. And over at MySpace at ALU. Plus, you'll hear from ALU in the next Escapes podcast. So keep your ears and eyes open for that real soon. Okay, we're on the phone with guitarist Dave Wyke, one of my personal favorites. Dave, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well.
Now, what I wanted to do is start by getting some information about your musical background and training. Did your family encourage music when you were young? Any formal training, stuff like that?
You know, it's funny. My parents weren't really musicians, but they had such an eclectic style in music. I got to hear so much stuff. I mean, one day it'd be good old rock and roll like Rolling Stones, and the next day it'd just be something like Earl Klugh. So I got to hear just everything, and I think that created a passion for music at an early age. I started playing the piano, and it didn't really stick. Just wasn't a real big fan of it, but I loved the keyboards. I was kind of the little geek that had the keyboard and would just push all the buttons and you know, just play it for days on end and drive everybody crazy. But it just wasn't my thing. I'd say I probably didn't play anything for the next maybe 8 years. And then it was my freshman year in high school, and my brother had a guitar that was sitting in the corner of his house. Was hanging out with his wife. There was just something about, you know, that night I said, you know, let me pick that thing up. I know you played a little bit. You didn't really take it that seriously, but let me try that thing out. And, of course, he taught me just the typical acoustic songs. I had to get old Sweet Home Alabama and Dust in the Wind, you know, a little fingerstyle song. But there was something about the instrument that totally captivated me. And so I was kind of hooked at that point. You know, while my parents weren't musical, like I said earlier, they invested a lot in my desire, which was really neat. You know, my dad bought me my first guitar. Dad bought me that piano and just was really into it. So I started lessons. I guess that was my freshman year in high school. You know, it was kind of interesting because I hated the whole formal side of it. I didn't want to learn any of the theory behind it. I just wanted to learn. You know, I grew up hearing a lot of Wyndham Hill and these finger styles like Michael Hedges and
right.
Will Ackerman and Alex DeGrassi. I was like, I just want to play like these guys. And this guy, Sean Martin in Roanoke, Virginia, was one of these guys that could play like that. And back in the late 80s, early 90s, that was kind of rare to just stumble onto somebody that could play like that. And so he just started teaching me, he just started giving me tab. And he said, you know, you're probably getting in a little over your head with this stuff. And I said, well, just go ahead and give it to me. Let's try to do this. And with my persistence, he was cool enough to continue to hand it out and push me through. And he did teach me a lot of classical technique, I think, that helped me with the finger style. So he did at least push me there. But as far as theory goes, there really wasn't much.
You just wanted to jump right into it, right?
Yeah.
Now, was there a specific point that you decided you wanted to seriously pursue a musical career and work towards the release of your first CD?
Yeah, you know, I'll try not to make this super spiritual, but I remember where I was, which room in the house I was about 13 or 14 years ago.
Wow.
And I was going through this experience where, you know, I had all these guys in high school saying, man, you got to learn cover songs. You're good. You know, got to play for the chicks and let's go to the beach. And there was something about me that it just seemed like there was something better. And I just remember saying, you know what, God, it seems like you've given me a gift. And if this is something you want to use for your glory, then I just give this thing to you.
Right.
And it was from that moment on that I started actually getting my own songs.
Wow.
I wasn't just mimicking the artists that I loved. I was starting to get new stuff. And I was like, well, that's neat. But I wasn't really sure anything was going to come out of it. This was about the time when the internet was starting to come out, and it was, I guess, the late 90s at that point. And so I started making MP3s and sharing them with my friends, and it got to the point where folks were saying, you know, why don't you just make a CD? Because I'd love to play this in my car and at home and stuff. I went, well, what the heck, I'll give it a try. The technology's there. And I had a buddy that was just nice enough to invest. This guy, Greg Carroll, just invested a lot of money, and I bought this kind of a cheap, you know, that whatever you could find on the market that would do it, an analog to digital converter on my own PC.
Right.
And I did that first album on that, just on my home computer.
Wow.
You know, it wasn't even mic'd. I just went straight through the pickup on the guitar. But, you know, it did the trick, and it created enough interest that Stillwaters kind of came out of that one. So
that was the next question. Stillwaters is your most recent release with what I'm noticing is twice as many tracks as your first CD. Tell me a bit about the whole process of recording and producing Stillwaters.
Well, as you can tell, there was a seven-year gap in between the two.
Yes, and, too long.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. But, you know, I think it created a lot of opportunity. My wife and I had just moved, and we had three kids within a really short period of time. Plus, I had a startup company with my brothers, and it was really crazy. And so I was just trying to do it at night. It got to the point where, you know, I had enough songs where I was able to get an album out after that amount of time. But I'd say one of the coolest experiences was I was trying to find a guitar that was handmade. Mm-hmm. And I talked to this guy out in California at Luthier's Collection, and he said, there's this builder, Mark Mangard, because I sent him a CD. I said, hey, what do you think would work with this type of music? Is there a guitar that you recommend? And he said, this guy, Mark Mangard, out in South Africa, you just got to try this instrument. And it was really kind of spooky because I couldn't play the instrument, of course. He's just going to build this thing. I'm going to fork out a bunch of dough and hope when I get the thing that it's going to be great. And sure enough, you know, David Wilcox has this line where he says these hand-built guitars have songs just inside and just can't wait to come out.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of was like, ah, it's new age, silly stuff, whatever. But sure enough, I got that thing, and within a week, I got a song that went straight on Stillwaters, and I named it Mangard.
Wow.
And so that was kind of a cool experience.
Specific process you went through when you're writing the songs on the CD?
You know, it's interesting. Like I said before, there's not really a science behind the songs. There's probably three out of all 25 or 30 songs between the two albums where I actually heard a melody and said, I've got to get this down. But most of them, I would just either stumble across a tuning. Some of them were just accidents, and then I worked on them, began to piece them together. But again, the majority of them were just out of an experience, whether something that I experienced with my wife or my children, sort of that emotional thing. I don't really know how to describe it, but...
You experience something, or you have a great day with the kids or something, and then you find you want to rush back in the studio and start getting something down?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Now, talking about your studio, what is your studio setup like? What kind of equipment do you have in there?
Well, I've got a Gefell M300 mic and a Rode K2, and I'm running those into a Sevatron preamp. This guy out of Australia, a good buddy of mine, helped me find this, and it just really draws out the sound. And a lot of guys used a match pair. I think they were saying, you know, you got to have a match pair for the true stereo sound on your guitar. But I found that it was kind of a unique setup to have just two totally different sounds when you were recording stereo to get it, when it was panned left to right, that you would really create more of a full sound.
Interesting, yeah.
And had another neat experience in this process of recording where even though I'd finished the recording process, I still kind of wanted a more professional touch on it. And I started getting to know a neighbor that had just moved in next door, this guy Noel Golden. I didn't have any idea who he was, and then we were talking. And it turns out he had produced Edwin McCain and worked with these other guys. I mean, Matchbox 20s.
Wow.
And I'm like, what in the world? You know, you're big time. And so he gave me, you know, the opportunity to go down to his studio, and he mixed it down for me and then took me down to Atlanta and ended up mastering it for me. And it just was kind of a mind-blowing experience to have this guy right next door that was able to take care of me so much. So it really, I think, gave it that more professional touch that I was hoping for.
Musicians who've been a big inspiration to you during your career so far?
Yeah, those guys I'd mentioned before from Windham Hill, just Michael Hedges and Alex DeGrassi, and especially Phil Keaggy, I used to just sit down and watch videos. And even if he didn't have a tutorial, I would just sit there and pause the thing if I could just figure out what he was doing in slow motion so I could get the fingerings right. And just a lot of inspiration what he was doing.
When people listen to your music, is there something in particular you'd like them to take away from that?
I'd say it's probably all over my website, but if one word to summarize it would be peace. I get emails from folks that, you know, they say they're either sitting in their car starting to get really aggravated with traffic and they pop it in and they're just, it creates a new environment for them, or a mother that's trying to get all her kids to bed and it's just insane in the house. Everybody's bouncing off the walls and she pops it in on a nightly basis and boom, they all calm down. And in some instances, I've gotten emails from folks that say they've just been overwhelmed by the presence of God. Of course, it's what I had hoped when I prayed all those years ago that, you know, that would happen. And if I got one email, I'd be like, yeah, this guy probably just needed a little, you know, a little experience or something. But I've had a few emails like that from folks that have just been really overwhelmed and even wept.
Wow.
While listening to it. And to me, that's every reason for creating a CD like this, if they can have an experience like that.
What an amazing feeling that's got to be. Any upcoming projects you want to mention? I know that Still Waters is out, and hopefully you've been doing really good with that. Do you have plans for a third CD? And if so, where's that going to take you?
Well, you know, right now I'm just, I've got a few songs that are just happening as I'm practicing the other ones. I'm trying to get out and do a little more live stuff, whether it's coffee shops or shows with guys, just where I'm piggybacking on some shows from that's one guy out of Atlanta allowed me to play with him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, right now I'm just trying to play a little more live and hope that songs just kind of come out over the next few years. But I haven't, you know, got a next one in the works right now. But
maybe 7 years down the road?
No, I hope it's not going to be like that, but it might just be.
Hey, you know, life gets in the way sometimes, or life happens, you know?
It does.
Now, before we wrap up here, I do want to tell people where they can find you on the internet. So let's give them your website and your MySpace if we can.
It is www.davewike.com, and that's W-I-K-E. And the MySpace is myspace.com /DaveWike.
And they can purchase your CD directly from your website?
They can. There's three outlets, at Amazon or CD Baby or at iTunes. And then now everybody's getting on Facebook, too. So if you've got a Facebook account, you can just type in Dave Wyke, and there's both a personal and then a music page for that as well.
Awesome, Dave. Well, it's been fantastic talking with you. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with me today.
Well, thanks so much for the opportunity.
And I wish you all the best with your future endeavors, and we're definitely going to play your stuff on Radio Mystic, as we have been. And anything new that comes out, you be sure to send it to me.
Oh, do it. Thanks so much, Pete.
From the CD Still Waters, here's Dave Wyke with Gentle Reminder. That's Gentle Reminder from the CD Still Waters by guitarist Dave Wyck. Some great music, especially for the upcoming fall season. Check him out online at davewyck.com. That's Dave, W-I-K-E. He's also on MySpace at myspace.com/DaveWyck. Well, the Radio Mystic 4th Anniversary Contest wrapped up this week, and we've got two winners selected from over 400 entries in all. Our first winner, Matthew Higa. I think that's how you pronounce it, Matt. H-I-G-A, over in Davis, California. And Alexa Montano from Dallas, Texas, are two lucky winners in the Anniversary Contest. They're going to be walking with the following CDs: Alu's Beautiful Things, The 10,000 Steps from Biomusique, Jacob Archer's Urban Rain, and Craig Scala's Tundra. Plus, we're going to throw in a few bonus CDs for them as well. So congratulations, guys, and thanks so much for entering the Radio Mystic 4th Anniversary Contest. That wraps up Eastscapes number 38. Our next show features an interview with Jeff Metling and Dee Gonzalez from the band Alu. They're going to be talking about their new CD, Beautiful Things. Plus, we're pulling off a little something extra special for you in the next podcast, so be sure not to miss it. And as always, thanks so much for taking the time to download and listen to Eastscapes. And don't forget, if you feel the show is worth keeping alive, please make a donation. You can do that by visiting our homepage at radiomystic.com. We'll see you next time for Eastscapes. I'm Pete Havey.